This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, we're going to go in-depth and take a look at search and rescue. Lieutenant Brad O'Dell of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
And you brought in one of your search and rescue volunteers. Why don't you introduce them?
I did. I'd like to introduce Marianne Jones, who is one of our dedicated volunteers, and she serves in multiple capacities, but mainly on the ground team. So, yeah, she's one of our go-to people.
All right, Marianne, thanks for coming in.
Hi.
So, Brad, explain kind of an overall, what is search and rescue? Because probably a lot of people don't totally understand it, or they have a misconception.
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't understand is that the sheriff is responsible by law for providing search and rescue within the county. And so this is one of his statutorily required responsibilities. And so we have a number of highly dedicated volunteers trained in different aspects of search and rescue. And we go out and we look for lost and missing people.
So how does it work when someone is reported missing? Because you're talking about when you're mobilizing volunteers, sometimes it's a smaller group, sometimes it's a lot of people, but you don't make that move without checking a lot of things out and a lot of planning behind the scenes.
Yeah, so there's a lot that goes into a search and rescue mission. When we receive the call, that initially is provided to a patrol deputy who then will gather initial information and pass that along to one of our two full-time search and rescue deputies. Those deputies are trained in aspects of search and rescue techniques, and they have a lot of training in like lost person behavior. And so they'll look at all of the facts and take that information, make an assessment and a plan, determine what resources might be needed for a particular type of incident, and then we dispatch those resources.
And I know there are times as well, and it gets a little complicated and sticky, where people call and say that somebody's missing. Technically, they're not.
Yeah, so sometimes, we have to screen these calls as they come in. We take, at the sheriff's office, we take all reports of missing persons seriously. And so what distinguishes search and rescue from a missing or overdue person is different criteria. A lot of people have a misconception that you have to wait 48 hours before you can report someone missing, and that's just not the truth. There's that misconception out there, and we like to let people know that that's not a requirement. If you believe that someone is lost or missing, call in and report that, and we'll take that information.
And especially for rural areas, hiking, hunting, things like that, I mean, those first 48 hours are sometimes the most critical.
Right. So especially with a search and rescue mission, you know, we want to deploy those resources as quickly as we can. We have different search techniques that we utilize. When we might know where someone was last seen, we're going to search differently than what we would if we had no idea where someone was. If someone is reported as missing or overdue, and we know that they were supposed to be back and this is the general area where they were, that search looks a lot different than where someone says, I saw that individual at this point, and that changes the dynamic of that search.
So, Marianne, how did you get involved in search and rescue? What led to you jumping in and being involved this way?
We retired and wanted to find something to do with our time. We wanted to volunteer, and we figured that being outdoors was one of the places that we loved to be, so we volunteer with search and rescue for many different reasons. We've learned a lot of navigation skills and love to hunt mushrooms, so that's been a benefit besides finding lost people.
So are there particular things in a search that you're involved in? I mean, sort of a job description as to what you do, or does it vary?
It can vary, but mostly I'm a ground searcher, just putting your backpack on and going out in the brush and look where our incident command has given us a certain search grid, and we go out and search that area. And we do man tracking as well, looking for signs of where a person has been.
Now, sometimes when these searches come along, how quickly do you have to kind of put pause to the whatever you have planned for that day and jump in?
Very quickly. You drop what you're doing, you grab your gear, throw it in your rig, and get to our SAR meeting shed and wait for your assignment.
So are you essentially kind of ready to go most all the time?
Always, yes. You have your, if you're going to town, we pack our gear in our rig. If we're going to be just out mushroom hunting, all of our gear is in our rig waiting. If somebody, you know, is to give us a call, we're ready to go.
So, Brad, you couldn't really do all of this if you were just depending on deputies in the sheriff's office.
There's no way, Kyle. We have two full-time deputies that are assigned to search and rescue, and that's their responsibility is to ensure that the search is conducted and, you know, looking at the investigative components of the search, but is also making sure that all of the common areas that we might locate someone based on statistics and lost person behavior. So they're responsible for ensuring that. But that's two full-time people, and we rely heavily on volunteers to do that work. There's no way that we could do this without our volunteers.
It's got to take some training. If somebody comes willing to help, what processes do you have in place to get them where they're ready to actually do whatever job description you have in mind for them?
So we host, every year we host called SAR Academy. And SAR Academy provides everyone with basic training, provides them with the knowledge of how to use a map, how to use a compass. We provide survival skills and first aid. There's a number of certifications that we help them to obtain in hopes that they are willing to complete the program and obtain their Oregon State Sheriff's Association certification as a searcher.
So, Marianne, what was it like going through that training process?
Well, speaking honestly, at first it was very frustrating because I had never held a compass or GPS in my hand, so the learning curve was pretty steep for me, but it was also a great challenge, and I loved doing it.
Now, are there kind of some specialties in this? I mean, over the years, as different stories come in of searches that are underway, there's a lot of different components. I mean, whether it's mountains or near rivers, things like that. How do you differentiate what people can do, or maybe people that just help on certain types of searches?
So we certainly have, I mean, Douglas County is over 5,000 square miles. We cover everything from the coast all the way up to the mountain ranges, and the terrain is different in all parts of the county. And so we really work with the volunteers and work with them to find a spot within the organization that is best for them. Some individuals know what their capabilities are, and we really just try to fit them where they would like to serve, and provide them the training available. Now, some people think traditionally of search and rescue as those individuals who are out, like Marianne, walking through the brush and searching, maybe rappelling or something along those lines. But we really have a need as well for people to serve in other capacities.
So what are some of those other areas?
So some of those other things are, we have an equine team. And so anyone who has horses that is interested in searching from horseback, we always can use those people. We have some folks who are trained in operating drones and like to fly the drones to help try to search from the air. That's another valuable resource. But one need specifically that we're really trying to fill right now is our communications team. Someone to stay at the incident command post and man the radio. Document radio traffic and provide that to the deputies who are making decisions about the search.
Wow, a lot going on there with search and rescue. We'll explore more when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson. And coming up at 1, Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow, we'll get an update on a couple of special projects going on with the Ford Family Foundation. Cassie Allen will be in, another guest as well, Mandy Elder, to talk about that. Lieutenant Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and Marianne Jones, one of the search and rescue volunteers. We're talking about search and rescue because, Brad, you've got a meeting or a training opportunity coming up for people that at least want to find out more and see if it might be a good fit for them, right?
Yeah, we do. We're actually next Wednesday, the 10th, we're hosting an informational meeting, and that will take place at the OSU Extension Office at 6 p.m. From 6 to 9, we'll be talking about search and rescue, what different units are available, answering any questions that people might have, and we'll have applications available for people to fill out. And we're also going to have hot dogs.
So how many people overall help in some area of search and rescue that are from the community?
So we have on the roster, we have roughly 80 volunteers currently. Some are more active than others, and we're just looking to, you know, always expand that and beef up those numbers because, you know, as you know, these are volunteers and they have full-time jobs, and we understand that.
And I'm sure there's times when people volunteer, but a search comes up and they really, you know, they can't get the day off work, or they've got a sick kid, or how do you deal with all those things?
You know, Kyle, we're just really understanding, right? We understand that everybody has a life outside of search and rescue, and we just ask that when individuals are available to spend the time training with their team or with responding to missions. And so we just rely heavily on them, and we just ask them to be available when they can be. But we also understand that there are times that they might not be available.
Now, if somebody comes out to the meeting, they get interested, what's the next step forward?
So first step is to come attend the meeting. And then if you are really interested in joining the search and rescue team, we would ask you to fill out an application. We do a background check just to check on a few things. And then there's an interview with the search and rescue deputy, and then the sheriff will review the file.
And when people are on board and they're helping in some area, when you call them, I mean, some of these are very remote locations. A lot of these folks clearly are pretty familiar with where they're going generally. But, I mean, they're not coming down to the courthouse and picking up a sheriff's office vehicle, right?
Right. So we have them respond generally to either the incident command post of where the incident is taking place, or we have them come to a designated location where they'll receive an assignment and equipment if needed.
So people are coming out in their own vehicles and all that then?
Some respond in their privately owned vehicles. Most of the time, though, we ask individuals to respond to our search and rescue shed, where they'll be assigned a team and a vehicle to leave on that mission.
So, Marianne, what was it like the very first time you went out on a search?
It was exciting, to say the least. It was a bit confusing because I wasn't sure what I was expected to do, and to get all that information on the first time, it was a little confusing, but it was very exciting.
How long were you out on that search?
I think about 6 hours was the first search.
But some take longer, right? I mean, you could be pulling people back and forth on different shifts, maybe around the clock even, right?
Yeah, so we've had some missions that, you know, we send out the page and ask people to respond, and before we can even get there, the mission's resolved. And then we've also had missions that have lasted days, weeks even. And so it just really is incident dependent, and we just, like I said, rely on these volunteers an awful lot.
What about with other adjoining counties, nearby areas, much like in other police incidents or even fire departments that are dealing with situations? It seems like there's a lot of back and forth help with other people in the region.
You know, we're really lucky here in Southern Oregon. We have an agreement with other counties throughout Southern Oregon and Northern California. We're part of an organization called CORSAR. And if they need help, they call upon us. And when we need help, we call upon them. And we're very fortunate to have that relationship with these other jurisdictions and receive those resources. Some counties have additional equipment or resources available to them that we might not have available here, and vice versa. And so we do rely heavily on neighboring jurisdictions.
And in the midst of one of these searches, not all of them have the desired outcome you're looking for. It doesn't all end nicely like some television show.
No, that's exactly right, Kyle. And, you know, that's sometimes something that potential volunteers or folks that are interested in this maybe haven't thought of. But the fortunate thing is that we're able to provide answers to the family. That's where really where, you know, we try to stay focused is we're doing this to try to find people and save their life if at all possible. But sometimes that isn't always the reality. But we are able to provide answers to their family and bringing their loved one home so that they can have those answers is critically important.
And I know there are times, too, when searches yield really no answer, and after a period of time, you have to kind of push pause on it.
Yeah, there are those missions where it becomes to a point where we have to suspend the search at that point in time until we gather new information. We're not we don't always have the information that we need to be able to conduct those searches and find the individual, but we always give it our level best, and those cases never really close. They're always there, and you know we seek information as they're still pending, and we try to gather that additional information to get people back out into the field and continue searching.
And sometimes it's up the road, maybe weeks, maybe even longer, before whatever the outcome is actually ultimately determined.
That's correct.
So, Marianne, if somebody is listening to all this and they're wondering, gosh, do I have the skill set? Is there something I could do? I mean, they've got a schedule that's got some flexibility. What would you say to encourage someone to at least come to the meeting and hear more about it?
Well, my experience is that I have enjoyed this more than any other volunteer work that I've ever done. You're out, you're getting exercise in the fresh air for the most part. You're working with wonderful people. You've got great instructors to give you the knowledge to be out in the backcountry and navigate, and it's just a great place to be if you have any extra time. Like I say, there's a lot of different areas that you can volunteer if you don't want to go out and pound the ground. There's a lot of places you are very needed.
And when you have success and someone is found, whatever the situation is in terms of them being found, what do you see when maybe family or friends or whatever, just in terms of the difference it makes to helping having them have closure, whether it's a great outcome or not the one they wanted?
Either way, they're very thankful that you've put the time and energy in to go out and look for their loved one, whether you find them alive or deceased. They're very thankful that you've been out there, given it your all.
About 30 seconds left. Lieutenant, give folks the information on the meeting again.
So again, our meeting is at the OSU Extension Office. That is next Wednesday, the 10th of November. And that's at 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue. And again, we'll be handing out applications. It's everyone's opportunity to ask any questions that they might have and talk to volunteers and the deputies. And again, we're handing out free hot dogs. So if that's an incentive to have people show up, we'd be happy to have you.
All right, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Marianne Jones, one of the search and rescue volunteers. Guys, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks again,
Kyle. Thank you.
1257 and News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.